As you listen to AM 1260 KXLR, here's a reminder to keep it right here for easy music all around the bay. all the time. All around the bay, it's AM 1260 KXLR. More stereo music that makes you feel good every time. Keep listening and tell your friends. Music, AM 1260, KXLR, San Francisco.
And Albert Carnesale of that school.
Exploring our new world of possibilities. This is KXLR Transformation Radio, San Francisco.
It's business in the hospital as Reagan awaits biopsy results. House and Senate conferees are giving it one more try on the budget. Schultz defends Star Wars as one advisor quits, saying it won't work. With Mutual News, I'm Al Freeman. President Reagan's top aides will be shuttling back and forth between their offices and Bethesda Naval Hospital for the next week or so. Reagan meets with some of his staffers this morning while he waits for test results on the growth that was removed Saturday from his intestine. Medical reporter Steve Gendel says doctors are taking a final, detailed look at that polyp.
They're going to examine microscopically the tissue they removed, again looking for any subtle change that would indicate that any of the tissue they removed might contain a cancer. Then they have to see if it spread beyond the polyp itself, into the fatty tissue or into the blood vessels of the colon, which indicates it may have spread elsewhere in the president's body.
The biopsy results are expected midday, and White House spokesman Larry Speake says the president's prepared for any eventuality. This is Mutual News.
Pearl Bailey for direct deposit.
You know, folks, I have represented my country around the world many times. I've been to Cairo, London, Rome. I even behaved myself in Paris. But now I'm going to get out of line. I'm going to sign up for direct deposit so I'll never have to stand in line with my government check. The direct deposit, my money goes directly into my account every time. It's there waiting for me instead of me waiting in line for it. Hey, when I see a good thing, I'm going to take advantage of it. I'm going to get direct deposit because the only line I'm interested in is the receiving line, waiting to meet more of those kings. And ambassadors. Y'all know what I mean, don't y'all?
Get direct deposit wherever you have your checking or savings account.
Come on, sweetheart. Get out of line.
A public service of the Ad Council and the Department of the Treasury's Financial Management Service. Come on, get direct deposit for your federal government check.
One of the Reagan administration's advisors on Star Wars has quit, insisting such a missile defense system in space will not work. David Parnas, a computer scientist at the University of Victoria in British Columbia, said he would stake his professional reputation on the decision. Parnas said there are fundamental mathematical problems that prevent the writing of a computer program for Star Wars. In Australia today, Secretary of State George Shultz said it would not make sense to abandon Star Wars because the Soviets are ahead of the U.S.
They have been doing research on all of the various types of new technologies that the President's Strategic Defense Initiative, which is a research program, essays to do.
Shultz will soon leave Australia for the Pacific Island of Fiji. President Reagan has again urged House and Senate budget conferees to push for an agreement this week so Congress can get on with other business, such as tax reform. One of the Senate negotiators, Kansas Republican Nancy Kassebaum, says President's not asking too much.
We should act this week. We should have acted a month ago. Unless we can do something of real consequence, Perhaps it's better just to pass the individual appropriation bills for 1986 fiscal year and then see what we can put together as a budget.
The budget conferees will get together today for the first time since late June. The Justice Department is expected today to ask the Supreme Court to overturn the High Court's 1973 decision, which legalized abortion. The Reagan administration believes the Roe v. Wade decision infringes on the rights of states to limit abortion. You're listening to Mutual News.
This world needs more feeling. This world needs more love. This world needs more healing. And we'll rise above. You exchange and help us bring the world together. You exchange and help us bring the world together now.
Changing the world begins with understanding it, and that's what being an international exchange student's all about. You live with a family in another country. You learn more about yourself and about people who are different from you. You grow a lot. You make friends, and you realize you really can change the world, one friendship at a time. Information right, Youth Exchange, Pueblo, Colorado, 81009. The International Youth Exchange and the Ad Council.
Technicians at Cape Canaveral worked through the night to replace a rocket engine valve that was blamed for the Shuttle Challenger's launch abort Friday, and the space agency has meetings planned today to set a new launch schedule. It's likely to be at least June 27th, or July 27th, that is, possibly the 30th, before Challenger can be made ready for another launch attempt, and that would delay the test firing of the new shuttle Atlantis. Al Freeman, Mutual News.
So much of what you do at home makes a big difference in what your child learns in the classroom. It goes like this. When you remind your children to listen when someone else is talking, to say please and thank you, simple common courtesies, you are teaching right from wrong. Then, when your child returns to the classroom and their teacher reminds them not to talk, chances are they will listen and learn, and everybody will learn. You and the teacher want the same thing, the best possible education for your children. You would be surprised at how much you can do to see that they get it. You can give guidance at home. You can meet with your children's teachers to see what you can do together. The sooner you do it, the quicker you'll get positive results. The better your children behave, the better they learn, the better everybody learns. This message brought to you by the National Education Association, Washington, D.C., 20036.
This is KXLR San Francisco. It's 5:05, 5:06.
Good morning. I'm Jim Bohannon, Mutual News, and this is America in the Morning. It's Monday, July 15th, 1985, and coming up on America in the Morning, White House correspondent Nelson Benton reports the president is doing just fine following surgery, and health correspondent Steve Gindel will tell us more about the medical tests on the president, the results of which will be released later today. In sports, Fred Lowry says the baseball all-star break is finally here. John Harchie says the prices for Toyotas and Sonys may be going up, but the price of Maine lobster is down. Sam Clover says Live Aid raised a bundle, and we'll twang some slang. That and more coming up this half hour on America in the Morning. This program is being brought to you in part by Culligan, water improvement systems for your home and business. The future calls for Culligan. And right now, the weather and Mutual meteorologist Bill Kamal. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, everyone. And in coinciding with the All-Star break, I wish I could say there's a break in the heat wave for the southeast and the west. There is for the coastal west, but there will not be for the southeast. But in Minnesota, today and tomorrow, beautiful air. Highs in the 70s and low 80s during the day and in the low 60s at night. But good morning, everyone. That front stretching this morning from the Great Lakes down to the Southern Rockies is producing showers and thunderstorms from New England to Arizona. And some of them are pretty heavy. In fact, a severe thunderstorm watch out for parts of Indiana and Ohio. We in Washington this morning have a sizzling 80 degrees still with heat and humidity. That should be the lot for the mid-Atlantic and the southeast today, south of that front, where highs will be well into the 90s with excessive humidity continuing. North of the front, over the northeast and New England today, there will be some sun. Then there'll be a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly in the afternoon and evening. Still very humid before some more pleasant air comes in late tonight and tomorrow. The upper Midwest has the delightful air with highs in the 60s and 70s across the Great Lakes. and in the 70s and 80s across much of the upper Midwest and the Mississippi Valley. But again, the heat does continue in the central and southern plains, where highs will be in the 90s and even a few hundreds over Oklahoma and parts of North Texas. And in the west, where the unrelenting heat continues in the 90s to 100s today again, in interior Washington, Oregon, Idaho, all the way down the Rockies into the southern plains and plateau. And in the west, along the coast, there is some dense morning fog, a little bit of drizzle. Highs should make it only to the 60s and 70s right along the immediate shore, but the heat wave does continue inland. That's the weather across America. On this date in 1916, a dying South Atlantic coastal storm produced torrential rains in the southern Appalachian Mountains. Alta Pass, North Carolina, had more than 22 inches in a 24-hour period, which is still a U.S. record. Many lives were lost. That's the nation's weather. From the nation's capital, I'm Bill Kamal.
And it's 9 minutes past the hour on this Monday morning on America in the Morning. Good morning to all of you. I'm Jim Bohannon. Well, the Major League Baseball season is at the halfway mark, and that, Fred Lowry, means the three-day break is here for the All-Star Game.
The game is tomorrow night, Jim, at the home of the Minnesota Twins. And the two men who were voted starters at catcher are both going to miss the game. Lance Parrish of Detroit and the Mets' Gary Carter are injured. The Major League Baseball Players Association is expected today to announce a strike deadline. Baseball Commissioner Uberoth says he sees a fairly good chance of a strike this season. Baltimore last night won the USFL championship game for the second consecutive year. The Stars edged Oakland 28-24. Here's a look at Sunday's baseball scoreboard. Toronto lost to California 5-3. It was Detroit hammering Minnesota 8-0. The Yankees whipped Texas 7-1. Chicago dumped Baltimore 5-3. Oakland, an 11-2 winner over Milwaukee. Kansas City took one from Cleveland 9-5. And the Red Sox trounced Seattle 6-2. In the National League, Chicago clobbered the Dodgers 10-4. St. Louis nipped San Diego 2-1. The Mets slipped past Houston 1-0 behind Dwight Gooden. It was Cincinnati taking Montreal 5-4 in 10 innings. Atlanta thrashed Philadelphia 12-3. And the Giants dumped the Pirates 7-3. Kathy Baker has won the most prestigious tournament in ladies' golf, the Women's U.S. Open. She was 8-under par for the tourney, 3 shots ahead of the field. The men's pro golf event at Williamsburg, Virginia, went to Mark Wiebe. He made birdie on the first hole of sudden death against John Mahaffey. And the championship match in the U.S. Pro Tennis Championships is today at Brookline, Massachusetts. It'll be Mats Wilander, the top seed, against 11th-seeded Martin Hight of Argentina.
That's Fred Lowry. That's sports on America in the Morning, now 11 minutes past the hour. At Bethesda Naval Hospital outside Washington, Mutual White House correspondent Nelson Benton tells us that all remains A-OK for the president.
President Reagan awaits lab tests today that will show whether the polyp doctors removed from his colon was cancerous. White House spokesman Larry Speaks says the president is an optimist, very well prepared for any eventuality. Doctors say the president's progress to date has been spectacular. He was running a slight fever yesterday, considered normal for post-operative patients. He sat up for about 45 minutes, took a brief walk around his room, had his picture taken just as he kissed Mrs. Reagan. He spent much of the day reading a new Western by Louis L'Amour. This morning may involve a brief meeting with White House staff members. To date, he's had short meetings with Chief of Staff Don Regan and read a daily national security briefing. The question mark remains on the lab tests. All other signs, doctors say, are just fine. Nelson Denton, Mutual News, Bethesda Naval Hospital.
At 12 minutes past the hour, we're speaking live now with Mutual Health correspondent Steve Gendel in Los Angeles. Good morning, Steve. And what exactly has been done and is being done by the technicians at Bethesda Naval Hospital?
Good morning, Jim. Of course, two issues remain now. Is the tissue that they removed from the president cancer? And if so, has it spread? Or is it contained within that little polyp itself? Because remember, if it's a localized cancer that was completely removed by the surgeons, then it's over and done. It's virtually as if the president never did have cancer at all. Now, how do they tell what kind of tests are being done? All weekend, pathologists have been examining the tissue under a microscope, looking for signs of cancer cells. And again, if they find them, not just cancer cells, but where are they? Confined to a small area in the polyp, or have they spread into the fat tissue of the colon and into the blood vessels? Where, of course, if it is cancer, it could then spread elsewhere into the body. Now, remember, you said, what have they already done? During the surgery, the surgeons looked and felt and checked the president's internal organs, feeling for tumors, points of swelling, and so on, any signs that there might be cancer elsewhere in the body, and so far they've found none. So it's that microscopic examination that's being done. We're waiting those results later today.
Now, just speaking as the layperson who has seen a few episodes of Quincy, I take it that they slice up the tumor and take very thin sections of it and examine that under a microscope?
Exactly. They'll be doing that. They'll be examining it layer by layer. To do this, they stain it. It gives the cells usually sort of a purplish color. And don't forget, cells are cells. It's not always easy to tell the difference between a cancer cell and a normal cell. There are no little signs that pop up and say, this is cancer. So they have to look very carefully at the cells. Often cancer cells will have a ragged appearance. They'll be looking at the edges of the cell, the arrangements of the cell, and the center of the cell called the nucleus.
Why did it take this long, Steve? Having once worked in a hospital laboratory myself, I would think that waiting all the way till Monday would be a bit longer than would ordinarily have to take place.
As a matter of fact, that's what doctors outside of the White House tell me. They say usually it would take about a day to examine all of the tissue very carefully. They say the results could have been in yesterday afternoon. Either they want to be very careful about this, or perhaps it was just because of a weekend. But outside of Bethesda Naval Hospital, nobody really knows why it's taking quite that long. There is another procedure called a frozen section, which can give you some preliminary results very quickly. But that's not as reliable, and it's my understanding that in this case, doctors didn't even bother with the frozen section. So they're going through this rather tedious procedure of checking layer by layer the cells that were removed.
And, of course, to the final most important question, just how accurate is the test? Once the doctors go through this, can they be 100% positive that the president does or does not have cancer?
Well, it's my understanding that obviously if they find signs of cancer, that's pretty much it. If they don't find any signs, about 95% sure that that this is it and it's over and done with.
All right, that's Mutual Health correspondent Steve Gendell taking a look at the tests that have been done and are being done on the tissue removed from the president, who, once again, if you've just tuned in, continues to do fine, a little bit of fever, but that's pretty normal following an operation of this magnitude. It's 15 minutes past the hour, and upcoming on America in the Morning, yes, we still are the world. Back after these messages.
Right in your home is just the place to get the taste of Culligan. Culligan.
Naturally, you want good drinking water, and naturally is how you get it with a Culligan brand drinking water system. All the clean, good-tasting water you need right from a separate faucet. No bottled water expense or inconvenience. Call your Culligan dealer. Soon, instead of water, you'll be calling it.
Cool, clear Culligan. Hey, Culligan man. Culligan, Culligan,
Culligan. Bugs by Christopher M. James. Bugs are with the screamy things that make my mother squeal. I think myself that bugs are fun. I like the way they feel. But ever since the Orkin Man, those bugs aren't anywhere. I guess that means my mother now can get down off her chair. Thank you.
Protect what you care about. Call Orkin, America's most trusted pest control.
Smooth-talking swindlers holding out the promise of huge profits are bilking $1 billion each year from unwary investors. High-pressure salesmen are peddling fraudulent commodity futures and conning investors out of their savings. A futures contract is a promise to take delivery of a commodity at some time in the future, hoping to gain from a rise in price. Too many retired citizens are falling prey to unscrupulous operators and losing a bundle. If someone calls you with an offer that sounds too good to be true, it probably is. To help protect investors, the National Futures Association, an industry group authorized by Congress, has set up a tough program to fight commodity schemes. To find out more, call toll-free 800-621-3570. That's 800-621-3570. In Illinois, call 800-572-9400. This is Virginia Nauer from the U.S. Office of Consumer Affairs.
It's 17 past the hour on America in the Morning, and so in business, what's up? Well, the Dow, says John Harchi, but down are the dollar and the lobster.
The stock market remains in record high territory. The Dow Industrial set another new high on Friday, edging up less than a point to almost 1,339, a gain of 4 for the week. And the Transportation Index also is an all-time high of 688. Stocks were moving up during the week as the dollar was moving down against other key currencies, hitting an 8-month low. American manufacturers and farmers could benefit from a lower dollar, which would make their goods cheaper overseas and make imports more expensive at home. But economists do not want to see the dollar fall too fast or too much. Speaking of falling, the prices of New England lobsters have dropped to the lowest level in 5 years due to larger-than-normal catches. Stan Gleason of Gleason's Fish and Lobster Pool says now they're getting $2.70 a pound, where it was $6 a pound for lobsters last year. And oil, which caused much of the world's economy so much trouble and inflation in the past few years, is getting cheaper. Mexico cut its crude oil prices last week, and OPEC failed to agree on how to keep the prices up. John Harchi, Mutual News, Washington.
Now 19 past the hour. The airline industry has gone through some significant changes in the recent past. Deregulation, the Petco and United Airlines strikes, hijackings, and so on. Recently, I spoke with Captain Henry Duffy, the union president of the Airline Pilots Association. Captain Duffy, did the union win, lose, or draw even during the United Airlines strike?
Jim, we felt like we won it if anybody ever wins a strike, particularly because at some point in the strike, management decided they were going to break the union. And they certainly didn't do that. We felt we won all the economic issues that we were out looking for. But more importantly, we resisted the biggest airline management in our industry trying to run us off the property.
We all, of course, are aware of the old PATCO dispute, of which the Professional Air Traffic Controllers Union struck illegally, as the law would say. But they tried it. They lost, the union was broken, and now we have new controllers. Are they as good as the old controllers?
Jim, they will be when their experience level reaches that of the old controllers. It takes a lot of time on the scope, just like it takes a lot of time in the cockpit, to be a fully qualified controller. These people have been gaining experience over the years since the PATCO strike, and I think they're just starting to mature now, but we've had some rough spots along the way.
Are you comfortable flying knowing that these people are telling your pilots where to go and what position to take?
And we've monitored the whole situation pretty closely, and yes, we've thought it's safe throughout ever since the PATCO strike went down. I think we've got to be very careful that we don't put too much traffic on top of these controllers, more than they can handle, because that's when the danger is going to start to come out.
With deregulation, you can have price wars. With price wars, there is a tendency to cut corners, and maintenance is a corner which I suppose could be cut if you could get away with it. Are people trying it, and are they getting away with it?
Well, fortunately, it hasn't been prevalent in the industry, but there have been some carriers who have tried it and some carriers who have been shut down because of it. We think the FAA has got to be a lot more aggressive in monitoring this kind of thing, because this kind of thing is a lot easier to do in a deregulated industry.
Hijacking. Nasty word. It's out there. Has the Athens airport been notorious in the past for the bad security that it's alleged to have had during the hijacking of Flight 847?
Well, we knew the problems existed. We had pointed that out to the Greek government. The problems in this case were on the air side, where the airplane was being serviced. There just weren't sufficient background checks on the employees servicing the airplane. We were pretty satisfied with what was going on the passenger screening. But yes, we've known about it for a long time, and the corrections were not made.
A lot of people are talking about sky marshals. Pro or con?
No, we're very much against it.
Why?
We don't think the airplane is any place for a shootout. We don't think it's good for the passengers or good for the crew. The airplane doesn't know the difference between a friendly bullet and an unfriendly bullet, and it can do a lot of damage to the airframe. We think the effort should be put on sealing off the airplane on the ground to anything that we don't want on board.
Captain Henry Duffy, our guest on America in the Morning. He is president of the Airline Pilots Association. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Jim.
And among the stories we're following in the Mutual Newsroom, there are still brush fires burning in Northern California's Big Sur country, plus British Columbia in Canada. But for the townspeople of Ojai, California, it was party time yesterday, a party for the firefighters who had saved their town. And speaking of partying, once again this weekend, rock tried to roll some help in the direction of the starving, as Sam Clover reports from Philadelphia.
The eyes of the world were on London and Philadelphia over the weekend with the historic Live Aid concert to end hunger in Africa. The dozens of pop and rock performers responding to the call made it possible with more than $40 million raised from worldwide TV viewer donations. Organizers hope to bring in millions more through sales of Live Aid merchandise and independent fundraisers. The Philadelphia show's opening act, singer Joan Baez, says this was as good a way as any to help the starving.
From our little investigators, we usually do a pretty good job. It's got as good a crack at getting food in children's tummies as any of these things. I mean, it's well-managed and well-researched, and for fundraising, it certainly gets an A++.
Singer Joan Baez. And of course, the lineup was a rock fan's dream with several reunions at JFK Stadium in Philadelphia, including Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Hard Rockers, Black Sabbath with Ozzy Osbourne, and members of the original Led Zeppelin back together. Philadelphia's own Hall & Oates brought another reunion up to the stage, David Ruffin and Eddie Kendricks of the original Temptations. Other highlights of the day included appearances by popular singer Madonna, a duet with Tina Turner and Mick Jagger, folk hero Bob Dylan, and the finale of the hit We Are the World, led by singer Lionel Richie. The response from viewers was tremendous, judging from the pledges. But in Philadelphia, more than 90,000 sun-scorched fans did their share, too, paying from $35 to $60 to be part of history. So was it worth it?
Yeah, I had a good time. It was worth the $50. Constantly moving. When you thought you were down, it brought you right back up. It was incredible. It was great. It was worth the wait. It was worth the lines. It was worth $35, definitely.
It was amazing. It was wonderful. The best concert I was ever at. I was at tons, and this was the best.
The best concert.
It was great. Because everyone was so good. Eric Clapton was fantastic. Madonna was great. Everyone was just amazing. I think it's like the best that everyone's ever done.
Mick Jagger,
Tina Turner.
Everyone was so
into it, but everyone really did their best.
So as entertainment and as a money raiser for starving people in Africa, Live Aid was a success. Everybody who was there in London or Philadelphia or watched it at home can be proud to be a part of history that no doubt has made the world a little better and through technology has brought people a lot closer. Sam Clover for Mutual News, Philadelphia.
And we'll be back after these messages.
When you're traveling this summer, Holiday Inn is the only name you need to know. We've got good restaurants, spotless rooms, nice people, and always a pool.
It's a better place. To have your fun, a better place for you, a place for everyone. We're always right where you want us, wherever you want to be.
Holiday Inn is the better place.
Oh,
Holiday Inn is the better place. Holiday Inn is the better.
With nearly 1,500 Holiday Inn hotels across America, we're always on the way to the good times, or right in the middle of them.
Holiday Inn is a better place to be.
For reservations, call 1-800-HOLIDAY.
Hello, 911.
Something's happened to my father. He's on the ground.
Is he conscious?
Yes, but his breathing's very bad.
Oh, what are your father's symptoms, sir?
I think it's a heart attack.
So what are his symptoms?
Symptoms? He's sweating. He's clutching his chest.
Where are you, sir?
Park, near 34.
Can you give me a more precise location?
Second building from the corner, on the west side, right on the street.
I'm dispatching an ambulance now.
Okay, hurry.
Now, wait, don't hang up. Do you know any CPR?
No. I only know that my father needs help. Now, he's...
Emergency help can take up to 15 minutes to get there. A lot of people just can't wait that long. So now, while you still have the time to spare, call the Red Cross. Sign up for CPR. We can give you 350,000 reasons why you should. That's the number of people who die each year of heart attacks before they ever reach the hospital. Learn CPR. Call the Red Cross. Now, the American Red Cross.
The New English Dictionary. I'm Jim Bohannon, Mutual News on the Offbeat. Teens always talk funny, and so we found a translator from the National Education Association, researcher Heidi Steffens. For openers, I gather that all of teen kind is still divided into cool or nerds.
Nerd is now out. Nerd has been replaced by a number of words. Squid, dork, geek, narc, stud.
That's awesome.
Awesome's out.
Oh. Well, how would you say, forget the great party on Saturday, I'll be home, my parents are strict?
Watch that full-on party Saturday. I'll be in the crib, my rents are harsh.
Then there's gnarly, meaning really disgusting, and squash that melon, meaning forget it, which is what I say. This is English?
Well, it's not English, but that is teen slang. And one of the interesting things is it's not only used by teenagers, but you will find in metropolitan areas, at least, that children as young as 10.
So what's the point?
The uses of slang are either to achieve a startling effect, to show that you belong, to show people who are not in your group that they don't belong, and at times to avoid being understood by teachers, parents, or others who are not in your group.
Or in other words, now that word is out, that their words are out to such elderly squids and narcs as Heidi Steffens and myself, the teens are most likely at work already on the rewrite. The Offbeat. I'm Jim Bohannon, Mutual News. And this is America in the Morning, Monday, July 15th of 1985. Engineering by Melinda Johnson. The producer is Craig Warner. I'm Jim Bohannon. This is the Mutual Radio Network.
Hi, this is Bill Rosinski, anchor of Mutual's Wide Weekend of Sports, inviting you to join me 32 times each weekend for the most informative sportscast in network radio. Our new format puts you in the stands at each day's top events.
Man in motion. The handoff is to Payton. It's a pitch out. He's looking around the left side. Payton's first fine. He's got it. Walter Payton has gained about 4 yards, and he is now the NFL's all-time leading rusher.
At the end of the third quarter, the score is St. Louis 31, Dallas 13. At Texas Stadium, this is Ron McAllister.
On Maui, I'm Tom Hill.
From Atlanta International Raceway in Georgia, this is Bill Bowser.
Our mics then move into the locker room for the comments from the players and the coaches. Sports is more than just a final score, so we here at Mutual Sports concentrate on one, letting you know what happened, and two, letting you know why it happened. So join me, Bill Rosinski, 32 times each weekend for the results, highlights, and unparalleled insight on Mutual's Wide Weekend of Sports over many of these Mutual stations.
Exploring our new world of possibilities. This is KXLR Transformation Radio, San Francisco.
It's 5:30.
Lab test due today on President Reagan's policy. House and Senate budget negotiators try again. Secretary of State Schultz claims Soviets are working on their own Star Wars. With Mutual News, I'm Frank Gentry. Despite his stay in a hospital, it will be work almost as usual today for President Reagan. Correspondent Nelson Benton is at the Bethesda Naval Hospital near Washington.
President Reagan is expected to meet with staff members briefly this morning, just 2 days following removal of part of his colon bearing a polyp. Results of tests to determine whether the polyp was malignant or benign are due later today. White House spokesman Larry Speake says the president is pretty much an optimist and very well prepared for any eventuality.
A tumor the size of a golf ball was taken out on Saturday, and the president said he had no pain yesterday. There are indications now 7 American kidnap victims may be freed soon in Beirut. That word comes from the Egyptian prime minister, who says it would be part of a deal to lift the American boycott of Beirut Airport. This is Mutual News.
Oh, Mommy, I cut my finger.
Bactine for infection protection.
Look, Ma, no hands.
Bactine for infection protection.
Even the smallest cut or scrape can run the risk of infection. But Bactine helps take the pain away, and its bubbly cleansing action kills the germs that can cause infection. That's why moms trust Bactine.
Bactine for infection protection.
Use only as directed.
This is Tracy Berg. You know, most of the time people forget about their lungs. I can understand that. I mean, there's that song, I Left My Heart in San Francisco. It wasn't I left my lungs in San Francisco. But remember, your lungs are just as vital. And smoking gradually damages your lungs until finally you can't breathe at all. Sure, you gotta have heart, but you gotta have lungs, too. Take care of your lungs. They're only human.
The American Lung Association. The Christmas Seal people.
Pledges from the weekend Live Aid concerts in London and Philadelphia now total $70 million for Africa. But the worldwide audience was $1.5 billion, according to promoters. That averages out to only 22 cents per person. The man who organized the events, Irish pop star Bob Geldof, has been nominated now for the Nobel Peace Prize. They'll be adding, subtracting, and crunching numbers today on Capitol Hill. House and Senate budget negotiators go back to work. Correspondent Peter Mayer says veterans of other budget battles now predict spending cuts will be scaled back, which could leave the deficit near $200 billion.
Some of the Republican budget writers are so frustrated that they expect a plan that won't do much, if anything, to reduce the federal deficit. The source of the frustration? Well, it's the framework agreed to by the House and the White House that dumps the Senate proposal to freeze Social Security benefits. That framework leaves many Senate Republicans politically embarrassed because they're on record as supporting the Social Security freeze.
Correspondent Peter Mayer says some senators now want the House to come up with $28 billion in domestic spending cuts. That's how much would have been saved with a freeze on Social Security benefits. In California, some of the worst fires are being contained or controlled now. Damage includes 1.5 million acres, bigger than the state of Delaware. Domestic cuts ordered by President Reagan are partially to blame for western wildfires, according to one top official on the scene. Jack Wilson, director of the Interagency Fire Center, says personnel cuts have limited how many people could get out and fight blazes in federal land. You're listening to Mutual News.
This is Frank Blair for your Better Business Bureau. Gold mining operations and electronic asparagus cutters are just two examples of so-called penny stocks that you may have heard about. Penny stocks are traded at low prices and generally promote new, untested products. Legitimate companies offer low-priced stocks, but there are also companies that use questionable practices. Some promote unproven or non-existent products. Others are run by inexperienced management. One firm's president was a high school freshman. Before investing in penny stock, get the company's prospectus. Read the description of the management's experience and background. Go over the company's financial statement and read about the product. Has it been tested and proven? Finally, if you get high-pressure, unsolicited phone calls to invest in penny stocks, hang up. And if a salesperson's claims contradict the disclosure statement, watch out. The investment may be less than legitimate. A tip from your Better Business Bureau.
Police in Anaheim, California say a mother apparently killed her 12-year-old daughter, then wounded her 15-year-old, before taking her own life yesterday. Police say the woman had been getting psychiatric treatment because she was worried about her children growing up in such a violent world. Frank Gentry, Mutual News.
It is a disease which disables, rather capriciously, the muscles of the body.
ALS, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. Known as Lou Gehrig's disease, a neuromuscular disease which results in paralysis.
I have to use a wheelchair, and I have a ventilator which helps me breathe. Happily, the disease does not affect the brain, and I'm still a working citizen.
Senator Jacob Javits, a great American, afflicted with ALS, its cause unknown.
I've spent a great deal of effort getting